Right. Okay. Right. So we are on, it's chapter 12. And let's see where we've got in chapter 12. It's, if you look at the bottom pages, it's 51 and 52. If you look at the bottom numbering, and in Hebrew we've just reached this fourth line down.
51.
The word hakashim. The line begins with the word hakashim.
I don't think I'm right. The bottom line here.
No.
Wrong.
No.
That's 12. That's wrong.
No, you want to go earlier on because you're in a different chapter 12.
51, page 51?
Yeah, page 51.
51.
No. 51. There.
Thank you.
And there's the word hakashi. Right. Have you got that?
Yes.
Are you okay? Would you like this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
I want to listen because I find Tanya is something I must listen to heavily. I can't read it and listen.
Fair enough.
I would rather you.
Okay. You've got it?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, yes. I understand. Okay, sorry.
Page 51, 52.
Yes.
And if you're following in the English, probably nevertheless, right? That's just
the
second sentence.
Yes, I've got it. Mm. Yeah. I've got it. Nevertheless. Yeah.
You got that right at the beginning?
Yeah.
At the top.
But my number
is nevertheless,
in regard.
It's in the
in regard to forgiveness.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're looking at a person. See, there's a very delicate analysis that we're looking at here of the balance, the spiritual balance within a person's life, within a person's being. And we're talking about a few minutes after someone was inspired. A person gets inspired within the life cycle of a Jewish person. There are moments of minutes, sometimes more, of inspiration. The kind of examples that people bring for this, it might be a very, very joyful festival. There might be something inspiring about that. For example, we're coming to the festival of Shavuos, which is the time of the giving of the Torah. So next Thursday night begins Shavuos, and Friday morning, if one's able to come to the synagogue, you hear the reader reads from the Torah, and he reads the Ten Commandments. Now this is one of the times during the year that when the Torah is being read, everyone stands up. So first of all, and they stand up just before the beginning of the Ten Commandments, because you don't have to stand up when the Torah is being read. Many people sit down. Most people sit down while the Torah is being read. The man who's reading it, he has to stand. But most other people sit down. But then comes the time of reading the Ten Commandments. Every single person stands up, which means in our shul there's a great shuffling of chairs. If the chairs are fixed to the floor, then you don't hear the shuffling of chairs. Right? So, and there the reader is reading the Ten Commandments. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt. And the sages tell us that at that moment, it's as if we're at Mount Sinai with the thunder and the lightning, and we're hearing the voice of God reading to us the Ten Commandments, saying the Ten Commandments. It's the most incredible thing. Very often a person passes out with the ecstasy of the whole experience, and they have to call this a special Jewish first aid organization called Hatzalah, which they have to call for someone who's become so ecstatic during the reading of the Torah on Shavuot that they hear the voice of God, and it's just an amazing thing, and there they are quivering all over, and you have to like quickly fetch blankets and, you know,
smelling salt.
The heart is the place for this.
Oh, you're quite right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I mean, just to visit Tzfat on an ordinary Wednesday is a spiritual experience. Let alone being there a Shabbat, and let alone Well, I'm taking Wednesday as an ordinary day of the week. Maybe it's not. Maybe Wednesday is a very special day. After all, we have our study group. We've had our study group on Wednesday evenings going back over 30 years. You know, it's an amazing thing. So Wednesday must be special. But in fact, every day is special and every minute special. Well, that's the incredible thing. Every moment of life is a special thing given by God at that moment. So there are times when you get inspired, you get excited. And well, let's imagine, let's say to ourselves that there's a person who really takes it to heart. They come to the synagogue, they hear the Ten Commandments, and it's a really spiritual occasion for them. It's something very beautiful. Everyone's there in shuls, and they're hearing from the Ten Commandments, and it's, you know, and they've heard this idea that it's written about, that one is reliving it, re-experiencing it, it's all happening again. It's tremendous. At that moment, usually, if someone is really taken by this thought, you know, I'm not talking about someone who's been forced to come to shul for some reason, you know, by their mother. You stand over here, you know. Don't talk. I don't mean that. I mean someone who's really actually excited about the whole thing. At that moment, they are not going to think a bad thought. Usually. They're too taken up with the experience. But after the experience, they may have this thought or that thought. We're human beings, and it's possible for a person to get irritated with another person. Why is he doing that? And why is she doing this? And you know, and look at that, you know.
True.
All kinds of different not such pleasant emotions and thoughts which go through our minds. Right. Now, among these bad thoughts might even be a sort of something. You see, there are bad thoughts which are permitted. In other words, you know, they're not really, they don't really have any substance to them. And you just think about this and about that. It's a permitted thing, it's not a forbidden thing. Sometimes a person might think about something forbidden. They may feel so angry with another person that they run through a whole scenario in their mind's eye of how they slosh them in the face.
Yes, I think a lot of people do things like that. But sometimes you think, God, if I, you know, I could get hold of that person.
When you've really been through it.
Someone's been very unpleasant.
Evil. Is it wrong to say I wish they'd die?
Well, do you mean evil like a terrorist, or evil like a nasty landlord?
A nasty piece of homework.
Well, there are lots of nasty pieces of homework. You know, this is an
argument.
Wrong,
in other words.
Not always in the Talmud do you see conversations between a husband and wife, and even more rare do you see disagreements between a husband and wife. But there was a disagreement about this between Rabbi Meir and his very famous wife Beruria. Rabbi Meir and Beruria living wherever they lived in Israel, and they had some very nasty neighbors. And Rabbi Meir thought to himself, I wish those people would die. And he told this to his wife.
Neighbours from him.
And I bet they did, no?
And she said... and she said, what do you mean... She said, what do you mean wish they should die? Why don't you wish that they repent and become better people? And he said, you know what? She proved it by quoting a verse from the Torah. And he said, you know what? You're right. And he prayed they should become better people, and they did.
They didn't die.
They didn't die, they became better people. You see? Mm. So if you're going to pray, you might as well pray they should become better people.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea. I did have to think, oh, if they were dead, it'd be much better here. But I never actually wished them to be dead. Well, how nice it would be if they
because they can come back on us. If we wish others to die, but we could, God forbid, be.
You know, there's a terrible, there's a very, very serious issue which it says that a person is judged every single day in heaven. Mm. How are we judged? We see someone else doing something when it irritates us. And we think some very bad thoughts about that other person. And you know why we were shown that? Because we've got the same problem in ourselves. And in fact, like psychologically, you can understand it. That's what irritated us so much about it.
Mm.
Because it's actually something in us as well.
Maybe.
You know, you can see bad things, but it doesn't get you so much. It's when you see bad things that you, deep down, is actually in oneself. That's what is really irritating. You see this in parents and children a lot. The parent gets terribly angry with the child about that quality which is exactly in the parent. You know, and you look at the two, they're like twins. You know, one's big and one's small. And the parent's so angry with her daughter, and you can see the daughter is just simply imitating her mother. You know, and that's, her mother's very angry about her. So therefore we may be judging ourselves when we are thinking bad thoughts about other people. All right, so that's an example. Well, to come back to the really forbidden thought, there is the person who's thinking about sloshing someone in the face, and the only thing is, okay, here we're in the second line, Elo Shubidvar Issa, but when it's an actual forbidden thing, I think this is the word nevertheless, is that what it was?
Yeah,
I've got it. Yes.
But when it's a forbidden thing, it doesn't occur to the person to do this bad thing, to do it actually, God forbid, in the real. But thoughts of sin, hakashim me'avera, which are worse, in some ways, they're worse than sin. Yecholim lifoil, they can have the effect la'alos l'moichoi, to rise into his mind, or the valbaloi, and to confuse him in all the different good things that a person is supposed to do, mitoira, from learning Torah, va'avoida, and serving God in all the different ways that we're supposed to do during the day. These bad thoughts keep coming back into our minds, churning round and round and round, even though we don't, God forbid, we don't actually do any of those bad things. But it's still churning around inside us. Ochamayim Razal, as the sages say, Gimel Averus, there are three sins, Ein Odom Nitzel Mehem B'chol Yoyim, a person is not saved from them every day. In other words, there are different problems that a person has, particularly in their mind. Hir Hur Averus, thinking of transgressions. That whole idea of thinking about transgression, thinking about a thing that we shouldn't do, but somehow or other the mind dwells on it. The eon tefillah, which means praying in the wrong way, not putting the right kind of meaning and concern and love of God into one's prayer. So there are various transgressions that come up again and again, and here he's focusing on the idea of bad thoughts, thoughts of transgression. Now, why is it that this person... See, we're looking at an interesting personality type. You could write a short story about this person. Because this person was very inspired. They came to hear the giving of the Torah in the synagogue, and it was really beautifully moving. Not only that, they maybe go to a kind of Chabad house shul where they have an ice cream party after the hearing of the Ten Commandments. There are many, particularly Chabad houses, where they like have a kind of an ice cream party or something like that, and also synagogues as well around the world. Or they're going to someone's home and there's going to be nice ice cream and yogurt and different milk food on Friday.
You went to one, didn't you? A cheesecake party at Esther Cohen's, remember?
Me?
Forgotten. So many don't know.
Well, there you are. So that's a very beautiful feeling. And at that point, the person's still feeling inspired and good, you know, like a good feeling in the heart. And then it just like, it gradually wears away. You don't notice it wearing away until there comes some negative situation. You know, there's someone there that
irritates you.
Yes, you've got it. And suddenly all the good feeling evaporates and you are filled with all kinds of negative thoughts. So why is it that we don't act on them? Why is it that we have this self-restraint? Yes, you're right. Conscience, yes.
Patience as well. You've got patience.
Bide your time.
Yeah. Oh, that's a bit rough. Bide your time. You wait and see.
But we're only human beings. You're talking about human beings.
You're right. Yes,
we're talking about human beings.
We're not perfect. That's me all over.
Well, that's exactly what Rabbi Shmuel Zalman is talking about in Tanya. He's talking about real people.
You wait and see. Time will tell. You'll get your up and you'll get your come up and one day.
Sometimes you think, eventually they will get their come up. Yeah,
all right, listen. Well, let's hope, like Bruria said, they change. Mm. They become very nice people.
Some people do, some don't.
But don't you think
Hashem
put some of these things there to test them?
Yes. I mean, in terms of our response, it's a test for us.
I have gone through miseries with people when I was working, and I have my old people's home. I did have nervous breakdowns. Mm. But looking back, maybe they were there to test me.
Mm.
I mean, I hated it.
They helped you to grow.
Probably, yeah. I'm sure.
You can look back at every negative experience in one's past life. That's right. Gums with the toba. This too is for good. It's like a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. Across the river of life, and that's what helps a person grow and become a real person. And it might be in itself something painful, but that is part of the whole story. Can't take just one bit of the story. Right, so as you say, it's conscience that there is a spiritual force in the person which isn't going to let the person do something wrong. As it says over here, this is the sixth line down in Hebrew, Rakshulazem Moyel. For this, there has the good effect, Hiroshima B'moichin. There's a kind of afterglow in a person's mind. The Yiras Hashem, and fear of God, the Avosoi, and love of God, Hamasuteres V'chalal HaYamini, which is hidden in the right hand part of a person's heart. Lehisgaber, to take power, velishloid, and to control, al harazeh, on this bad force, hamesavetayva, which wants to desire its own desires, shaloli yoisloi shlita mimshal, that this negative force, this animal force, shouldn't have power, the ear, in the city of the person's body and life, lohoitzi ta'avosu mikoich alapoyel, that it should express its desire, and it shouldn't only be potential, but it should bring it out into actuality, God forbid, the hisabish the ebele aguf, to be clothed in the limbs of the body. Now, so we're talking here actually about a beinoni who has tremendous self-control, and for this person, not only is he not going to do the negative thing, he's even not going to think the negative thing. There is a thought which seals into his head and is trying to make him think it, but he pushes it away. And the reason why he pushes it away is because, first of all, there is a love for God that he's got hidden in his heart, and there's a fear of God that he has hidden in his heart. And also there's this glow, the glow which came from the beautiful moments of inspiration And those, the inspiration might be, it doesn't have to be Shabuot in the morning, it's every day that the person prays to Hashem, and the time when they pray to Hashem, it's a very inspiring time. And then they stop praying, and there's a kind of a glow, a warmth left. And then when there comes a prompt, which is trying to push the person into thinking something bad, he doesn't do it. Even in his brain alone, to think about something bad, there's this thing, this force within him. So there's this force within him pushing him to think something negative, and he refuses. That he should accept this thought willingly, God forbid, he or Zehara, this bad thought, which is coming up by itself from the heart to the mind. You see, that's what happens. There's the heart, which is sort of ticking away in its own rate. And it's looking at different things, and it's thinking about different things, and it's greedy for different things, whether it's in a sort of a way of being attracted to something or angry about something. There's the heart which is moving away, and then the heart sends up this thought into the mind, and the Beinoni, as soon as he sees this thought, as soon as he realizes what it is, as soon as the thought rises up into his mind and he recognizes what it is, he pushes the thought away with both hands and thinks about something else. As soon as he realizes that this is a bad thought, you know, sometimes you can have a thought that steals into your mind and you don't yet recognize where it's going, and suddenly you say, hey, I can see you, I know where you are trying to lead me, go away, I'm not going to think that. Yes. It, in a way, it demands a sort of fairly mature approach to one's own mind. See, children can't control themselves. Children, a small child can't control what they say. Very hard for them to control what they say. If a little child, like a 7-year-old, has a secret, you could do an experiment. You know, like you say to a 7-year-old child, I'm going to tell you a number. The number is 22, and you mustn't tell anyone that number. So then you have another person comes up to the child. Here's a sweet. Do you want another sweet? What's the number? You know, and you'll find a way to get the number out of it, right? Now, as we get older, we get more levels of control, up to a point, and then there's a question of how far we want to have control, because Tanya is telling us we can have control all the way through. We can control everything in our mind if we want, and we can even control our feelings, because there is a way of thinking in certain ways which will arouse a certain feeling. For example, it's time to daven, it's time to pray. So someone opens a siddur, puts it in your hand, they say, read those words. Well, you can read them, or you can feel them. How are you going to feel them as well? You think a little bit. I'm standing before Hashem, I'm standing before God, and I'm saying these words to God, and I'm expressing my love to God. And you start thinking about this more and more, and so finally when you come to say the words, you really feel it. At this moment, you feel a tremendous love for Hashem, a love for God. So, so that is the ability that we have to, in different ways, open different doors inside us of our feeling and our spiritual attitude to things. So, in the case of the Beinoni has, the intermediate person, has this power. And if there is any negative thought, as soon as he recognizes it, he doesn't accept it. even just to think about the bad thought, not to, God forbid, not to think of doing it, but just to play around with the thought. No, he's not going to. He sees this is a trefa thought, it's not good, and he's not going to think. He's not going to think it. V'kol shekein, and even more, lahaloisa ladas, lasoise chas v'sholam, it's not going to occur to him that he should actually do it. Oy afilu ledabe boy, or even to speak about it. So he's not going to speak about it, he's not going to do it, and he's not going to think about it. Why is he not going to think about it? How am I so sure that the beinoni, the intermediate person, isn't going to think about it? Ki hamahahe berotzon, because someone who deliberately thinks about something forbidden in any way, like all the different subtleties, what it means thinking about something forbidden, nikra rosha ba'oisasha, at that moment that person is called, it's like a very uncomplimentary name, but the person, a person who's doing something wrong and continuing to do it, that's what's called a rosha. You see, very often when people talk or use the word rosha, they mean someone who's like totally a nasty piece of work, who, you know, you wouldn't want to have anything to do with them. They're dangerous, they're horrible, you know, they're abusive, they're... But one of the things that this book is trying to gently help the person realize is that any little bit of us which isn't really dedicated to God, if it's not dedicated to God, then what is it?
Is it a rasha?
Well, that's an interesting thing. And if you say l'chaim, you can say yes. But you have to say l'chaim. Before you say l'chaim, you wouldn't want to think in that way about yourself. But if you say l'chaim, then you can say, look, you know what? There are bits of me that are not dedicated to Hashem the way they should be, and they're not the best part of me. The best part of me is dedicated to Hashem, but I leave a few other bits and pieces around, and that's you know, that's also part of me. So so this is what the Beinoni does not want to have. The Beinoni does not want this negativity of any kind, and so therefore he or she gets rid of it. So a person who allows in that negativity is called by this uncomplimentary word ba'oisasha, that moment. V'ha'beinani, and the beinani ain't a rosha afilu sha'achas lo'olam. The beinani is not such a person, not for one moment. See, the question is who one is. There's a story about a turtle and a scorpion.
You're a scorpion.
Are you?
Is that
your style? You're a Scorpio?
So am I.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And you're still alive, and you're sitting between two Scorpios.
Oh, God. I'm Gemini, so I don't know how that works out.
Well, don't worry about which zodiac sign you're born
on. They just have to be bad, that's all.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything for your character. But let me tell you a story about a scorpion and a turtle, and let's just understand what we are trying to do. So it's like a fable. The scorpion came to the turtle on the bank of the river and said to the turtle, take me across the river. Turtle said, I'm not going to do that. You know what will happen. In the middle of the river, while I'm swimming across the river with you perched on my back, you'll suddenly sting me and I'll die. The scorpion said to the turtle, why should I do a thing like that? If I stung you and you died in the middle of the river, you would sink and I'd sink with you, I'd also die. So take me across the river. So the turtle takes the scorpion onto its back, starts swimming across the river. It's quite a wide river and it's very deep, and they get to the middle, and suddenly, zook, the scorpion stings. And the turtle is going numb, and he's dying and drowning. And he says to the scorpion, why did you do it? Why? And the scorpion says, That's me.
Oh.
And they drown. Mm-hmm. Now,
what's the moral of that story?
Well, that's
I've heard that before.
Yeah. What is the actual
right now? You
when
see
when the essential character cannot be changed.
Well, now this is the interesting thing.
Is it?
Is the moral is the, are we in the place of the turtle or the place of the scorpion?
Is it related to a character? That is how.
Well, it's me.
Yeah, that is
a
character.
It's each person.
Yeah, that's your character. That's
now,
your nature.
Yeah, well, now.
Actual point, Dr. Lowenstein.
That's it.
Yeah.
You see, are we stuck with that character?
Mm,
according to Hasidism, no, we're not. Mm. That's me. Yeah, that's the animal soul.
Mm.
Animal souls behave like animals. And there are different ways that animals behave. That's not me. You or me. That's the divine soul. It's something completely different, something not in that story at all. It's the animal soul which might behave like a scorpion, God forbid, or something very nasty. So don't think it's you. You see, that's the point. Be free.
You're safe. I'm saying.
Be free. We can be free. We can have a very, very nasty quality inside us. And many people do, and often it gets into the newspaper. We can have a very nasty quality inside us, and we can be free from that because we do not allow it to trap us.
Yeah.
Not in what we do, and not in what we say, and not even in what we think. Now, that's a wonderful picture that Rabbi Shneur Zalman gives us of a free person. It's as if there was someone who unfortunately had been thrown into jail and they're handcuffed and it's this horrible, horrible situation, and they have this dream of themselves free, walking in the forest, you know, untrammeled, none of these hostile forces catching them, trapping them. Well, the hostile forces are in us, and we can be free. That's what this book is saying.
Mm.
And the teachings of this book, if we can manage to apply them a little bit, the person who can really do it is really free in the most wonderful, wonderful way. He's not yet a Hasidic Rebbe. A Rebbe is like another level altogether. And even the person is not necessarily a tzaddik. Talks here about a tzaddik. A tzaddik has transformed themselves, is on a completely different level. The tzaddik has changed the scorpion. The scorpion's not there. It's only something good. But we can be in that negative situation. The person who's got a real negative force inside them, but we're not going to let it trap us. And the Torah gives us guidance and illumination so that we will really...
Shneur Zalman wrote that book during the programs, didn't he?
Well, it's quite true that when he wrote this book, there were a lot of troublesome things going on for the Jewish people.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, I was thinking...
There were pogroms. I mean, every few years. At that time, every few years, there was a blood libel. There was something. There were, like, serious issues.
It was as difficult for him in his day as it is for us in this day. I'm thinking earlier, so actually, Zalman, he lived in easier times, but he wasn't.
It wasn't easy at all. It was very a very difficult time.
He equals out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Okay, we're up to the words V'chein B'dvarim. Now, can I just see what time it is, please?
It's nearly 20 past 10.
Oh, it's nearly 20 past. Alright, well, maybe we should leave these next few lines for next time, because they're very special and we don't want to have to rush.
Okay.
Thank you. How do you pronounce it?
Pirkei Avot.
I find at in the